Good evening, everyone. Hello. Welcome to church this evening. You're all very welcome. It's great to have you here this evening. Welcome if you're listening online as well. So tonight, it's part two, and this morning was part one. So if you've been here twice today, excellent. Good work. You're going to get the whole picture. This morning, John gave us 3 points to do with the way we live when we're aware of God being our Father. And the three things were glorifying God. That was one of them. So doing things to try to make God look good, similar to the way that a kid might say, my dad is the best dad. And then another thing was copying. So we can copy God and try to be like him in different ways, in the same way that a kid might want to copy their dad. And then the third thing was pleasing God. So living to try to please God, and not just to try to kind of please other people and look good in front of other people, which is something which is very tempting to do, isn't it? So that was the first 3 points, and we're going to hear some more this evening. So looking forward to that. But now we are going to start by singing. We're going to sing this song, O Father, You are Sovereign. You'll see with a lot of the songs this evening as well, like this morning, we're thinking through this theme of God being our Father. So please stand and we'll sing as music starts. Some time in prayer together. Let's pray to God our Father. Lord, we thank you for this day. You've carefully placed all of us in this day, all of our circumstances. You've overseen all of it, and you've graciously given us this day of life to live for you. Lord, we thank you for the for the beautiful weather outside, for the sun that just reminds us of your grace, that you make the sun shine on those who are good and those who aren't good, Lord. And you are kind to us, whether we have been good this day or we've not, your grace is available to us. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you've been good to this church and its work over the last few weeks. We thank you again, especially for all the youth work that's been going on with camp, with YPs. And we pray again that as those young people come away from the great times that they've had, Lord, we pray that the things they've heard will remain in their minds. And as they go back to their slightly more normal routines at home and later on as they go back to school, Lord, we pray that the work that's been done here in this church will have just lasting effects for those young people, that it will bear fruit in their lives, that they will go on to live lives for you, to have a peace in their heart that surpasses understanding, that can only come from knowing you. Lord, we think as well of the Alderbrook work going on this week, and we ask the same for that, Lord. We pray that it would just be a successful event. Lord, we pray that you'd help John and James and others who are involved in it, and that you'd really bless them. Bless the work there, and we pray that many would hear about you, and especially many kids and their parents who wouldn't normally be in a church, who wouldn't normally get to hear the gospel on a Sunday. Lord, we pray that the gospel would go out this week there. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for Forest Fold. We thank you that there is a church here, that it is established, and it's been established here for so long. And Lord, we don't want to take that for granted. We see so many churches dwindling, so many churches closing. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give grace to this church, to allow it to continue its work for you. Lord, we pray especially that you'd be blessing and helping the leaders, John and the others who are so involved in leading your church here. Lord, we pray that this church would be not a dwindling church, not a struggling church, but it would be a flourishing church. It would be a church that people look at and they see something of you. They see your love and your life and something of the beautiful nature of you in the people here, your body, as you put it, in the church here. Lord, we pray also for the world further around us. We think especially of all the conflicts that are going on in the world, and so many of them looking like they are escalating. Lord, we know that you're sovereign over these things. We know that you're sovereign over superpowers. And Lord, we just ask that you would turn back conflicts that look like they're escalating and spilling over and affecting more and more people. Lord, we pray that you would bring peace to the world. But Lord, we know that there is no peace without you, and we pray more than political peace that you would bring your gospel of peace to the world. Lord, we pray that in countries that are maybe majority other faith countries, Lord, we pray that your gospel would grow, and that the church would grow, and that people can come to know the one and only way to God, that your son Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, we ask that in your name. Amen. So, Tim is going to come up. We've got two readings. Tim is going to come up and do our first reading for us now. Thanks, Tim.
Our first reading this evening is from Matthew chapter 6, and starting at verse 5. That's on page 811 in the Chapel Bibles. So Matthew chapter 6 and starting at verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you. So that's the first reading. We'll have another one in a minute, and we'll look forward to John explaining some of that text to us in a little while. We're going to sing another song now, which is Come and See. Have a stand and sing as the music starts.
Thank you.
Let's continue in prayer. Let's talk to God again in prayer. Lord, we confess our need for you. When we look at our lives, if we look at them accurately, or if we look at them honestly, we see so many ways that we make messes of our lives. We make so many mistakes. We hurt people. And Lord, we can see that we need you. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your help. We need your forgiveness. And Lord, thinking about that, we thank you. We thank you that you've revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you've revealed your personality, your characteristics, that you are like a father for us. And that you give us that guidance. You give us help, love, forgiveness. Like we were singing in that hymn there, the wounds of Jesus, those wounds of love, they cry out to you, Father, forgive. You took action to secure for us forgiveness so that we could be in that relationship with you, Lord, and we thank you for that. We confess that is what we need. Lord, we pray that you'd help us this evening, that you'd help us to grasp this huge truth. We pray that you would open our ears, our eyes, our hearts. We find it so easy to be open to things that are trivial, but sometimes it feels like hard work for us to be open to spiritual things. And surely that is, just a sign that there's something working against us. But Lord, this evening we want to come to you. We want to be open to what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that you would help John as he speaks to us, that you'd help him speak your words that you've spoken in the Bible. We pray that you'd help him speak them to us clearly, help us to understand them. Lord, as we think of you being our Father, it might be that for some of us we think of imperfect or absent fathers, and that makes it difficult for us to understand it. Lord, I pray that rather than being a block for us, a stumbling block, I pray rather that as we think about you as our Father, it would bring peace and healing to wounds like that we might carry. Yes, Lord, I pray again that you'd help us to grasp more of you this evening. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're going to come to our second reading, which is, again, in Matthew 6. We're reading verse 25 through to 34. It's on the screen. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father
knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we're going to sing again. We're going to sing two songs, and then John is going to come and speak to us. So we're singing, to begin with, Father God, I Wonder. So this, we sang this song this morning as well. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood. How did I even get by before I knew that you're my father, is what that's saying, because it's so significant. It's so important that God is our father. How did we even get by before? I hope that lots of us here can identify with that, and let's think through that as we sing this and then the song following, Father, I Place Into Your Hands. So please have a stand and we'll sing together.
Thank you. Well, I made the comparison this morning to a two-course meal during the day, so I say welcome to desserts this evening. And if you find desserts better than main courses, quite a few do, I hope that will be the case this evening as we continue in this wonderful theme that we've been looking at today. We're looking at today, as you've been reminded, at the amazing fact that Christians have God as their Father. And we've been seeing how that affects our lives. And we're doing so from the Sermon on the Mount, perhaps the classic sermon on Christian living. And yet noticing how frequently it refers to God as our Father as it approaches different aspects of Christian living. We were comparing it to the sort of rich streams of raspberry ripple infiltrating the ice cream and giving it the taste all the way through the ice cream. And so through the Sermon on the Mount, this theme of God as Father infiltrates tastefully, love wonderfully through the whole of the sermon and by implication through the whole of our Christian lives, the sense of God as Father. Now we have a whole range of experiences here, I'm sure, in terms of our relationship with our natural fathers. Some, through various circumstances, have perhaps never known their father. He's been a non-existent figure for them. Some have had a father, but in many ways he's felt like an absent figure in their lives, and maybe that's been very hard to experience. For some, their relationship with their father is quite cold and distant, and perhaps has been a difficult feature of the pathway of life. And for others, there has been a sense of warmth and liveliness and love in their relationship with their father. And some of these things have been big things perhaps for us to deal with as we've gone through life. Well, as we think of that range of human experiences in terms of our relationship with our fathers, it's good to think of what is our relationship with God like? Which of those fits with our relationship with God in a spiritual sense as our Father? And I want to say this evening that if you are a Christian, then God is your Father, and you have every reason to enjoy the last of those descriptions. Your relationship with your Heavenly Father, you've got every right for it to feel warm and loving and lively and a big feature of your life. And yet we don't often capture that, do we, in the way in which we go through life. Esther and I went to a conference a few years ago, which was very helpful for us, and which put it like this, that it's very possible for us as Christians to live like orphans when in fact we've been adopted into the family of God. That we carry on with a mindset and living as though we were still not loved unconditionally, as though we were still not secure, as though we still didn't have a sense of belonging, a home and a future. We live as though, if you like, we were still in the children's home rather than the family home in our mindset. So, Christian, have you got an orphan mindset or an adopted mindset? Is your mind caught up with the fact that God has wonderfully included you in his family as a believer in Jesus Christ? And as we absorb that adopted mindset, it can have quite an effect. And I'm hoping today will help us all with that shift. It will nudge us along the road of that shift of thinking to enjoy the thought of God as our Father. And as we were tracing it through this Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6 and 7, this morning, as we've been reminded, we saw three ways in which it can infiltrate and affect our lives. And this evening we're going to follow on with three further ones. And if you were here this morning and you think about these things, maybe you were having a think about what can be the other three. Maybe you even had a preview of Matthew 5, 6 and 7. You've worked out my points for me this evening. Well, this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at three further ways in which knowing God as our Father infiltrates our Christian life. We've had glorifying our Father, copying the kindness of our Father, pleasing our Father. And then the next one we come across, perhaps you expected this, is speaking to our Father. Speaking to our Father. So prayer features in the Sermon on the Mount, as you might expect, as it deals with Christian living. But it's good to notice the sense of relationship that it depicts. What is that? What is the sense of relationship that comes when it teaches about prayer in this great epic sermon of Jesus? And you know where I'm heading. It is the sense of relationship of a child to a father. In most cases, you speak differently to your dad than you do or just anybody else. There's often a sense of relationship and care, of being known and loved, a sense of ease when you're speaking or were speaking with your father. Of course, that's not always the case, and people's experiences are different. But it is a sad thing, isn't it, if in speaking to our father we feel very nervous and unsettled when we're speaking to our dad. That's not the general way, the ideal way it should be. There's a sense of ease and freedom and love and intimacy, which there isn't with just anybody else you come across as you walk in the street. And this theme comes through here in the Sermon on the Mount. It comes in several ways. It comes in several ways in this talk of Jesus. In chapter 6, we were looking at the way in which religious acts are carried out. And you see in verse 6, it says this: "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So it may be a quiet prayer on a walk, or as you drive the car, or in your armchair for your quiet time, if that's the way you do it. And there's no one else around, but your Father hears, notices, gives attention. Your prayer is communication with your Father. What a lovely way of expressing it. In fact, he knows our situation before we ask him. Verse 8, chapter 6. "Do not be like them," that's the Gentiles in the way in which they carry on with their phrases, "do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Us dads can be pretty dull sometimes. We don't tend to be quite on the uptake like the mums are. But a good dad takes notice of his children, and he knows how they tick. And he's observing what's happening in their life. And when a child comes to the dad, sometimes the dad might say, "Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. I knew that's exactly why you were coming to me." And that's the sense you have here. Our Heavenly Father knows the things that we need before we even ask him. It's not news to him. It's not strange to him. He's so acquainted with our lives that he knows what's on our heart and what we bring to him. Then we have the theme in the Lord's Prayer, which is in this great sermon. And it's difficult, isn't it, not to be amazed at how it starts. Don't get past how it starts. Our Father. Verse 9. Father, Abba in Greek. Perhaps the thought of daddy is a bit too babyish for what the word means, but dad, an intimate, a familiar term. Our dad. Wonderful, isn't it? Lest we get too taken away with the familiarity in it. Our Father in heaven. He's still glorious in holiness. He's still the one worshipped by the angels. He's still the God of infinite perfection. And that almost adds astonishment to the whole phrase that you start with, our Father in heaven. So often in this sermon, you have the phrase Heavenly Father. You have relationship and reverence really sort of bound together. Our Father in heaven. So you see, it's coming up quite a bit, isn't it? And there's one more reference. Let's jump into chapter 7. Last week we sang Seek Ye First in the morning, if you were here. And one of the verses really draws from what's in chapter 7 about ask and knocking and seeking. And see how that asking, knocking, seeking, which is speaking of coming to the Lord and prayer, see how it's sort of framed in this fatherly relationship. Let's read from verse 9 to 11. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Doesn't it encourage a sense of anticipation and expectation as we come in prayer? God willing to give, keen to give good gifts. Luke adds the Holy Spirit, especially spiritual gifts, to equip us and help us as we go through life. So again, the Father imagery, speaking to our Father. Now think about this in terms of your own prayer life. Think about it in the phrases or the terms that you use. Now I'm not saying you should only use the term Father as you pray. The Bible prayers don't only use that term. The New Testament prayers don't only use that term. So there are other words that can be used. But do you never use the term Father? Or seldom use the term Father? I think you're missing out. And what about our thoughts of God, our attitude to him, the sort of atmosphere in our heart, if you like, of as we pray? Is it, are we along this frequency, if I could put it like that? Are we in line with this, that we're coming to our Father? We can do, we've every right to believe that that's the way it is. That you can enjoy that. That can be the atmosphere of your heart as you pray. Have that sense that he's hearing. A willingness on his part to grant good things. Yes, you've had setbacks and there are puzzles and there are things like this. But still, because this is the truth that you know, is that still alive in your heart? A sense of anticipation, expectation? the New Testament elsewhere picks this up, and I want to give you two references because I think they underline how significant this is in New Testament Christianity. This is the entitlement. This should be the experience, if I can put it like that, of the Christian believer. It's wonderful. Romans 8:14-15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery, a sort of orphan mindset. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6-7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So that is the special way, the primary way, the general flow that the Spirit works in our hearts to pray to God as a father. And yeah, maybe you've not sort of got wind of that yet. And I just encourage you to explore that, think about it, and express things in that way, because that's the truth. Enjoy speaking to God as Father. Be nudged in the way of this mindset, which is so clear in the New Testament. So that's the first this evening, speaking to our Father. The second, as I try to bring out the different parts of this Sermon on the Mount, is this: forgiving like our Father. Forgiving like our Father. I hope you'll get the flow of this. Maybe one or two of these verses you're forced to think through a little bit quite how to understand it. But it shows a big link in this sermon between God's forgiveness and our forgiveness. You had it in the Lord's Prayer, verse 12, chapter 6. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. But it comes even clearer after the Lord's Prayer in verse 14 of chapter 6. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, you may think, how are we supposed to understand that? Does that mean that we only get forgiven if we forgive? Does it mean we sort of hop in and out of forgiveness according to what our attitude is each week with others? Well, that doesn't fit into the New Testament teaching of justification by faith. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But what it does show here is there is a strong link between being forgiven and forgiving. They do go hand in hand. If there's not a forgiving spirit in our heart, you do have to seriously wonder whether we've known forgiveness ourselves. If I can put it like this, we don't earn forgiveness by forgiving, but we do express our forgiveness by forgiving. God's forgiveness is not conditional on our forgiving, but it will be copied in our forgiving. Those who are forgiven should be forgiving people. And the main thing that links it in with this evening is to see how that forgiveness is from a heavenly Father. Verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. As our Father is willing to forgive us, so we should too forgive others. Now, some dads do hold a grudge against their children. Something the child does and says in life, though may be apologised for, is held against them. That can happen, and that's very hard to experience. But it's not the norm, is it? Not normally, a parent so loves that they're willing to forgive. A father is keen to forgive. In fact, parents are often over-charitable, aren't they? That they care so much for their children. It's funny, isn't it, what memories you have. It's about 40 or 50 years ago now. I still tell my girls about it, back to my childhood. But there was a naughty boy down our street, and often getting into trouble. And I remember his mum saying, "Now, you always blame my Christopher. You always blame my Christopher." Well, it always was her Christopher. It always was her Christopher. But she couldn't see that. It was a parent's general desire of love that guilt shouldn't be associated to the child. Well, God is obviously just and perfect, but his heart is disposed to forgive his children. And when you come confessing, you don't come to somebody who is against you. You come to a father who is willing to forgive you. The fatherhood references, are they so frequent in the Old Testament? Well, they're not. They're much less in the Old Testament than the New Testament. This is much more rich in the New Testament. But you do have them there in the Old Testament. We had one read for us this morning in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And if we've experienced that wonderful forgiveness from God, that our sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west, if God in his compassion has heard our cry and forgiven us, well, it has an effect on how we are to others, doesn't it? That sense of welcome and acceptance and forgiveness, it spills over into our relationships with others. We should be forgiving because our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. So have you been forgiven by your Heavenly Father? How wonderful, isn't it? You've been forgiven by your Heavenly Father. The whole lot has gone. It's gone justly on his Son on the cross so that you could be spared. You're forgiven. Surely you've got to be forgiven towards others, haven't you? That lady was a bit straight with you. The man who lied to you, the person who let you down in business, the person who got cross with you, the friend who made you look silly and humiliated, the neighbour who thoughtlessly had a noisy party. I'm not saying there's no issues to be dealt with in some of these things. You might have to go to people, have conversations and sort things out. But you do so with a forgiving spirit, willing to hear their apology, ready to forgive. You don't hold a grudge of animosity against them. How can you when your Heavenly Father has forgiven you? That sense of joy and peace and relief and love that you have because of what God has done for you, it's got to spill over, hasn't it? Into those who offend you and cause you difficulties. forgiving like our Father. Do you have a forgiving spirit? Or do you have a loaded bitterness towards other people or some individuals? Have you been bruised this week by somebody and you're still trying to process how to think about the whole thing? Remember, you are wonderfully forgiven by a Heavenly Father. We should be people who are forgiving like our Father. And to our last one this evening, which is enjoying the care of our Father. Enjoying the care of our Father. One of the topics addressed by this sermon is the topic of worry. And a tendency to be anxious is really quite a feature of life, isn't it? If I asked people to sort of stand up, I won't do, but if I asked people to stand up who had felt worried or anxious this week, we would, I'm not trying to make you anxious and worried now that we're going to do such a thing, but we would all feel the need to stand up, wouldn't we? We've all had things which make us anxious and worry. This is an issue which affects all of us. And there can be a whole range of themes which come into why we are anxious. And this passage from Jesus, this sermon, addressed the topic of anxiety and worry. And it does it in a way which is beautiful and encouraging and challenging at the end of chapter 6. It tells us several times, verse 25, do not be anxious. Verse 31, do not be anxious. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious. And it says different things in relation to encouraging us and helping us to think along those lines. But one of the main ones is the care of the Father. The raspberry ripple of this truth finds itself even into how we face the anxieties which we come across in life. Two verses particularly, they're on the PowerPoint there. First, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Don't you find that just the phrase, your heavenly Father, can diffuse quite a lot of the worries and anxieties that sort of steam up in your heart? Just the phrase, your heavenly Father, isn't it transformative in itself? But it reminds us here of our worth. Are you not of more value than they? You are valuable to your heavenly Father. You might not feel you deserve to be. In fact, you and I don't deserve to be, but we are valuable to our Heavenly Father. Therefore, do not be anxious. And then there's verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The Lord knows what we need. Yes, but it lands even softer than that, if you like. The Lord knows what we need. It says here, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Our Father values us. Our Father knows us. He had it in verse 8 of the previous chapter. Do not be like them, for your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. So enjoying the care of the Father. What does a younger child usually do when they are anxious? When they're on a scene and somebody comes who they don't know very well, what do they normally do? Well, so often they sort of scuttle along, don't they, to their dad. They hide behind their dad. They just grab their dad's leg. They're behind him. They feel safe and secure because they know that their dad is protective, is concerned for them, loves them. So of all the places that they could head to, they head to their heavenly father, to their father rather. They head to their father who cares for them. And in the same way, believers, in our need, in our anxiety, in our threats, we have a heavenly father to head to. There's somebody we can scuttle to who loves us. And we may think of it just in terms of the really big decisions of moving on, of changing location, of changing job. But here it's for the everyday worries of food and of clothing. The God who provides knows. He who sees to the flowers being provided for in their season and the birds for the duration of their life knows our needs and provides for us. It says elsewhere in the Bible, cast in all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. So what is causing you anxiety at the moment? There are probably many things. Some of them might be quite complicated things, understandable things, hard things. Are you able to see them in the context of a Heavenly Father's care? Are you able to see them in the atmosphere of a Heavenly Father's care? We sang about some pretty hard experiences in the first song. But you see the way each of the verses start. Oh Father, you are sovereign. And are you able to face the current hard and difficult things as well as the little worries? Are you able to face them in the atmosphere of a Heavenly Father who values you and knows you? To know that you have a Heavenly Father who ultimately has everything under control and who is working through, although we don't understand at times and although sometimes it's very difficult, a Heavenly Father who is working through his wise, loving plan for your good and his glory. When you see your threats and anxieties in that context, aren't you more able to do what Jesus says? Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. So, we've had a theme for the day. That's very rare. I can't remember doing that for a long, long time. We've had a theme for the day. The main thing, I hope, is that the overall theme is being absorbed by us. We felt the spread of the flavour through the whole thing. We feel the spread of the flavour through our whole life and outlook. I am a loved child. I'm a believer and I'm a loved child of God. That's the main thing. I want to sort of bellows, if you like, fan the flame. If you feel that already, Christian, that's what you should do. And I'm wanting today to be the bellows of fanning that up. It's a great privilege to have it fanned up. That's what I'm hoping today will have done. But we've also had some specifics. And we've seen in the way in which the Sermon on the Mount, there are these six ways that living the Christian life is linked to God being our Father. I'll put them up again and give you time to think, because maybe a couple of them are particularly helpful for you. So I'll put them up and just leave you with a minute to look at the six we've had, to grab two for yourself to think about and pray about, and then we'll move on to our last hymn. Well, we could probably do with a bit more of all six, but I've picked my two. Maybe you've picked your two. Maybe you've got friends or people at home that you're happy to say, what were your two? And it'd be quite a useful thing just to chat about together. Anyway, we move on to our last song, and it's really following on from the last point of enjoying the care of our Father. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. Father, we both feel a sense of our inadequacy in the way in which we don't see things as we should. But we feel a sense of encouragement as we have traced this wonderful theme through this sermon and seen that for Christians, for real, they can live life with a mindset of knowing you as Heavenly Father. We pray that that wonderful atmosphere will prevail in the way we think, the way we speak, and in our attitudes, and in our uncertainties, and in our problems. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.